If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, darlings, and welcome to Big Little Shrine. It's the officially unofficial Big Little Lies podcast. It's Rebecca here, and I'm very excited to give a big welcome back to Hannah.
Hi, it's all the gals this week.
Yeah, we are literally the Monterey 2 this week. We've kicked the men out of the studio. Poor Brendan's gone.
We hate men. We're burning our bras. It's all gone very Monterey.
So, Hannah, over the last 2 weeks, you have been at the biggest music festival in the world.
I have been in Glastonbury. Saw Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Didn't see... I saw Liam Gallagher's son get sick into a bin.
Sorry, yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
I went up to ask him for a photograph and he got sick into a bin and then he lay down on the ground, so I said I'd leave it.
You said, listen, I won't right now.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So I left him, but I didn't meet any other celebrities, no actors. And then you come home and you log into, you know, you go online and you see all the famous people that have been there. I have never. Dua Lipa's the first person I've seen that's famous and I'd already met her.
So I thought you meant you saw Dua Lipa's and she was performing. You actually saw Dua Lipa walking around?
Yeah, seen her walking around on the second day.
Was she with Gigi Hadid's brother?
Didn't catch who she was with, although I was only reading about that today. I thought she was still with the Elvis guy, but no.
Not
she's
anymore.
Moved on. So yeah, in terms of actually spotting celebs, they were my only two.
And what about the acts that you saw? Tell us.
The acts are obviously incredible. I saw Stormzy on the Friday night. He was a real highlight for me. The Chemical Brothers. I saw Kylie. I saw Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow. Didn't see Sheryl Cole.
I know.
Sheryl Fernandez.
I saw Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow. Oh, I want to soak up the sun. Did she sing that?
Yes, she was brilliant. 2 o'clock on the Friday, like the first can. Like Sheryl
and Kylie
Crow.
Played the legend stage.
Kylie was
or the pyramid
amazing.
Stage, isn't it the legend the pyramid, stage?
The legend slot on the pyramid stage. And the sun just shone from the day we got there until the second we left. So like not a drop of rain, like it was fab.
Dream.
Yeah.
I feel like Kylie and Renata would be really good friends. Like Kylie should have performed at Amabella's party last week, the disco themed.
I swear to God, it was one of the most glam. Like I knew she was going to be classy, obviously, but I didn't think she was to that level. Like she came out in like a cream shirt tucked into like pantsuit bottoms with gold heels. And she's so tiny and so cute. And then her voice is incredible. And then she had all the dancers and she did like 7 different outfit changes.
Obsessed.
The heels the entire time. She spoke like she's just such a lady. Like that's what I felt. Like you're just looking at such a lady.
So Hannah, you were hanging out with Liam Gallagher's son and basically me and Brendan
in the same area, in the same fields as Liam Gallagher's son.
Obsessed. Me and Brendan were sitting here chatting all things Big Little Lies. Now,
I know, I'm so sorry. I felt so bad I abandoned you.
Well, sure, I was in Rome and now Brendan's away as well.
Gone. Yeah, so if the audio quality of this podcast has dropped considerably this week, he is the man that kind of looks after that stuff. I'm just blindly
Brendan's
talking.
Brendan's really the backbone of the podcast. He edits it, he uploads it, he fixes any like weird audio spikes.
How have we got away with all that?
I'm not sure, but I have realised now that how much we appreciate Brendan. And
also,
how much
it just hit me while we're sitting here talking, like, who's
editing
this? Me. Right, well, don't make any mistakes.
Yeah, well, I'll try not to now.
Don't
I'm a bit
say
nervous.
I'm mad.
So while you were away, sunning yourself, swanning around Glastonbury, eating chips, drinking beer, everything.
Then I went to Portugal.
Then you went to Portugal.
Sorry.
We have just been, you know, the weather has been all right in Dublin. You know, myself and Brendan went for a few lunches, dinners together.
You went for, excuse me, we dinner did, yeah. without me?
We went for, I mean, you were in Portugal.
Fine.
And not much has been going on, but my main question for you now is how were you catching up on Big Little Lies? Did you watch it when you came back? Were you like sneaking online, watching stuff? Okay.
I don't think it was the plane home from Glastonbury. I had about 16 hours in between getting home from Glastonbury and going to Portugal, Jesus. Which was a weird day. So on that day I was home, I watched the first episode that I missed.
Yeah.
And then over in Portugal, I had it downloaded on Now TV, my Now TV app, and I watched it over there. So I was caught up. I was watching it and I was listening to the podcast like a fan over there.
Thank
it
you so much.
It was so weird.
We
it was
appreciate
actually so
it.
Weird.
Our one listener, Hannah, who Woo! Also does the podcast. And then tell me, what were your highlights? Do you have any highlights of the two episodes that you saw?
Yeah, so I don't, like, my honest to God, right? So I've always said that I think I was born in the wrong era.
Yeah.
Like, obviously the job that I do involves social media and it's quite digital. But like, if I had a choice, I have it worked out perfectly. So I would have been born in the 50s. Now, not Ireland, because you would have had a terrible quality of life, right?
Yes.
But I'm talking like... in New York, in the 50s, Manhattan, like middle class family. This is the dream, okay?
Yeah.
So then I'm like 0 to 10 in the 50s. I'm 10 to 20 in the 60s. So I've got the Beatles. Then I'm in my 20s for like Summer of Love, Studio 54, the disco,
yeah.
Discovering drugs. So actually my highlight of the whole thing was what everyone wore to Amabella's disco party.
It was phenomenal.
Like, I can't cope. It's my favorite era of style. I just loved it all.
We were saying that we should dress up as them for Halloween. I want to be Amabella. Who do you want to be?
All right, now, do you mean from that particular event?
I mean, yeah, whatever, we could go disco, we could go coffee shop, we could go,
because I love Madeline's trivia nice
yes
outfit as well. But I have to say, Bonnie's disco outfit with the fringe.
God,
I was just sitting there. So before I went on holidays, I got like the suggestion of a fringe, like bangs. And then when I saw that, I'm like, I'm getting a full fringe.
You're getting a fringe.
Yeah,
and you're not.
I'm going to bring that photo in and I'm going to go cut my fringe, cut my cheekbones off, make me. I'm not leaving this hairdresser's until I look like her.
And you don't want to look like Shailene Woodley's bangs. You want...
Although Shailene Woodley's bangs
growing
get a
on
bad
me.
Rep.
They're growing on me.
I figured it out why. Because if you watch the opening sequence of, so the opening like credits for this season, her fringe is so greasy in that and so blown. It goes like this.
Yeah.
Like out from her head. And I don't understand, because then in the episodes, I think it's fab. Like, I love a blunt fringe and she can pull it off. But I think you're just so traumatized from the opening credits every week that I convince myself it's awful. But then when I look at it, I actually love it. Like, I actually love it. It's deadly.
Okay, so you're gonna get a fringe,
I think.
Brendan's gonna get a tan this week.
Yes, Brendan's on his halls.
And I'm gonna get some more pollen.
Have you got hay
antihistamines?
Fever?
My okay. Hay fever. That's it. When you were away, all I got was hay fever.
Stop.
That's all I did. It's the pollen counts. It's through the roof, Hannah.
Well, I have a few questions for you. How did the podcast go the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, like, I felt like we were missing a limb. We got on well, right?
It's our first podcast together in like nearly a month.
Yeah. So it kind of does feel like a month, but myself and Brendan got on really well.
Brilliant.
But it wasn't complete.
It's not the same without the tree.
As Atomic Kitten would say, we weren't whole again. And we won't be until next week when Brendan comes back from his holiday. But the great thing is, Brendan and you, yourself and myself are all going to be reunited for the two best episodes of the season.
So you've just answered my question. We've two left to do
together. We
have
two left after this, because realistically, Hannah, if I'm perfectly honest, and with everybody who's listening, the four people or whatever.
The four.
Who we love and appreciate. Thank you so much. The Monterey Four. Not much has happened.
Now, I brought this up to you during the week because I watched the episodes in quick concession. Like, I didn't really have 2 weeks between them the way it fell.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you could have done one episode out of the last three.
I agree. Now, I still love it. I think Renata, Laura Dern is
killing
it. Oh,
don't get me
it.
Wrong. I'm really, really enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it, but I'm just waiting for the action.
Yeah, and
I'm
in terms
ready.
Of like talkability and stuff, there's definitely not as much juice as last season. And I remember, so the original director from season one left. He didn't.
Jean-Marc Vallier.
he didn't return for this season. And the reason for that, the reason he gave was he felt that it would be ruined if season two was made. Now, I don't agree with that. I don't really like cliffhangers. Like, I want it to be wrapped up in a bow. I want to know what's going to happen to the girls. But that said, I can see where he was coming from in the sense that the content is probably a little bit stretched without a whole novel behind it.
This week, though, however, I did feel like...
ramped back up.
Yes, I do feel now that the wheels are in motion.
I agree with you.
We're rolling on a river.
And I think they always say, don't they, is it like a rule in television that the penultimate episode is always the big drama and then the finale is... you're kind of winding it down a bit. Like, you're not going to get the huge explosions in the last episode. Now, maybe you will if we're getting a season three, but I don't know if we are. So I'm expecting huge things next week.
Huge, big.
Give it to me. Okay, let's get into the recap.
So, Hannah, you're up. Okay. I'm excited. You're back with the bang. Let's hear what you have to say about season two, episode five, which was titled Kill Me.
Kill Me. Okay, you sit back and get comfortable.
Okay.
So this episode opens with a flashback to trivia night and Perry's death. It turns out that Jane was having a nightmare. Celeste also wakes uneasy, except she's thinking about her steamy hookup with the bartender.
Oh.
Now, he was gorgeous.
He was.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, ding dong.
Nathan catches up to Ed, who's cycling, and Nathan attempts to apologise for his behaviour. That what is his fucking problem? I think I said it a couple of weeks back. I don't think he has any friends. I think he wants to be friends with Ed, and then as soon as he starts to be friends with him, the weird side of his personality just kicks in, and he just can't.
Why don't you like me?
But bizarre.
I watched it and was like, oh Jesus, here we go again, the two alley cats. But then earlier on, I was on YouTube and I was on HBO's YouTube, and I rewatched that clip, and honestly, it's hilarious. It made me cry laughing. Same. Earlier, because Nathan is running after Ed, and Ed's got the helmet on. He's sitting there. Nathan has legged it.
And
like,
have you noticed that every time, more often than not, when Ed and Nathan talk, Ed is in the full cycling gear. So he looks like such a nerd.
Yeah, like, he's so safe. But like, that's where you should be. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, he would not. He is so by the book.
That,
like,
is such a good way to describe it. He's so safe. He's so safe.
Like, nothing's bringing him down off that bike.
Or in life, because he always comes out on top of their conversations. It always ends with Ed cycling off and Nathan having a meltdown. So it happened again.
Ed is killing it. And my favourite thing ever was when Nathan goes, why do you have to be such a fuck?
No, he goes a nut fuck.
No, he said nut fuck out. He said nut fuck twice. I was like, this is...
And he goes running up the road to call him a nut fuck again, and then he just stops and turns around. Like, he's having a meltdown.
And like, when Ed's like, I don't have to be, I choose to be.
Oh,
I mean, that is just salty.
So Nathan is basically attempting to apologise for his behaviour at Amabella's birthday party, where he starts another fight with Ed. This is always Ed minding his own business and Nathan coming up and just picking on him. And Ed's response to this is, can't we just be comfortable not liking each other? There doesn't have to be a reason. And this just drives Nathan mad, because I think there's a bromance. I think Nathan just wants to be his friend.
Yeah.
So Celeste and Mary Louise attend a child custody meeting. Mary Louise says she doesn't consider Celeste a bad person, but that she's not well. We have to do what's best for the children, she reminds everyone. So a hearing is scheduled and Celeste leaves, worried that Mary Louise will successfully take away the twins. Celeste's lawyer tells her not to worry and that the judge will see through Mary Louise's performance and warns her not to react. I would have hit the roof 10 times at that point. Lost the plot.
Like, it's like when someone says, calm down.
Exactly.
I will not calm down. I am calm.
And I was even getting stressed watching it, because it is so scary. Like, child protection laws in the States are so strict. And it kind of feels like if anyone challenges you and you have any sort of a good lawyer, like, everyone's done bad stuff. Like, everyone's been hungover. Everyone's, do you know what I mean? She crashed the car. It was an accident.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's violence in the home, but I think she's a really good mom. But at the same time, Mary Louise has a really good argument to take these kids. And I just find that so terrifying.
Do you think she is a bit hooked on the pills that she's been taking?
I think it's beginning to be implied that she is, because obviously she forgot your man was in the house.
Yeah.
I do get that. But at no point have we seen the boys in any danger because of that. She seems to just... twice we've seen her take them at night and twice she's woken up a bit groggy. And I do get it.
Yeah.
But it does just scare me that Mary Louise could come in and just take her children. Like,
Mary Louise is like a menacing seagull who's after your burger.
She is everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, Bonnie sleeps in the hospital at her mother's bedside. Obviously, she collapsed at the party in the last episode.
Yeah.
Skye and Nathan come to visit. Later, Bonnie's dad arrives and we see some flashbacks to Bonnie's childhood. While holding her mother's hand, Bonnie sees the same vision of water that her mother's been having. So, what is going on there?
Telepathy, is that
Yeah, like, is that what we're... Okay.
Yeah, premonitions, we're not sure... We don't know.
There's
yet.
Something going on. Shared visions. Madeline and Ed take a drive. She tells them to have an open mind. And then they go to a therapeutic hugging course where strangers hug and attempt to make each other feel better. So they obviously think it's bullshit. Back in the car, they laugh about how awful their experience was. And it looks like a little happiness moment for them. Madeline calls out a good man, a good husband and a good father. And he snaps back with, I was a sound choice. So they have their same old arguments again about how, you know, Nathan was the one for Madeline and then she had the steamy affair with Joseph and Ed was just this good solid father figure that she just brought in for Abigail. A stable provider, he refers to himself.
I agree, but
like, it's undeniable. Like, there's no sexual chemistry between them.
No.
He's an incredible dad. He's incredibly stable. He was an incredibly good choice, especially if you're a vulnerable single mother after a divorce. Yeah, you're going to go with that. Like, of course you are. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's not going to be enough because you're Madeline and you want everything all the time and everything is up to 90. So it's like it was written in the stars.
Is that the bit in the episode that she starts singing You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman by Carole King?
Exactly.
I screamed. It reminded me of when she brought everyone to Frozen.
She can't sing.
Disney on Ice. And she's like, thunder only had. Guys, come on, come yeah. on. Like, it was
and
like
I
that again.
For a second, Ed is like relaxing and enjoying it. And then he's just looking over at her like, but like, are you just
he doesn't make her
car?
Feel like a natural woman.
No.
The irony.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
They pick the best songs in this show. I can't hope.
J'adore the songs.
So Madeline says, in trying to reassure him then, you can trust me to love you more deeply than I've ever loved anybody, but can you trust me not to fuck things up again? Maybe not. I don't know if I can trust myself with that.
Ooh.
That's not good enough for me.
No way. Like, she needs to fight for him. She needs to tell him that she is going to make sure she never ever does that again.
And like, she does it in the end, but I just feel like if someone cheated on me that I had a house with and children with and built my whole life with, and then that's what I got, no. I'd be like, no, I have more respect for myself than that. Go fuck yourself. And these people have money, so it's not as if, you know, you see a lot of people trapped in relationships
yeah.
because they can't afford to leave.
He can get out.
He can just go.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure what's going to happen, but she does finish by saying that all she really wants is to be happily married to Ed. Now this annoys me, this next part. So she does this bullshit thing of saying, like, I don't know why I do it. Like, maybe I just fucking hate myself. Maybe it's low self-esteem. No, you fancied someone and you slept with them because you don't fancy your husband as much as you fancy that person. We can talk about low self-esteem all you want.
Yeah.
We all have low self-esteem. No, I hate that excuse. So that was bullshit. But she does promise if she fucks up again that it will not be with infidelity. She says to him, all my future mistakes will be brand new ones. Like, I really like Madeline. At least she's being honest. But like, it's a bit of a rock and a hard place for Ed, isn't it?
It is. And I do feel sorry for her. But I just don't think she's communicating exactly what she's not communicating it in the right way. She might feel like Ed is everything to her and the sun, moon and stars. But she's not proving that to him.
No, because she does say there, like, she does promise him never to cheat again, which is obviously a big deal. But like, if I felt that way, I think I would be like screaming that from the rooftops at someone. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
that kind of comes towards the very end of the conversation. I just...
Yeah, like as Cheryl Cole would have sang, we gotta fight for this love.
Yeah, and I just feel like Steady Eddie deserves better.
Yeah, she's not fighting hard enough, I don't
think. No, I agree. And he makes the point later in the episode in the kitchen that when she wants something, she's all in. And he's like, you're not all in on fixing this. And she's just not, because we've seen her march up to that school and get shit done.
We've seen her put on a play about puppets fucking.
Yeah, exactly. If she wanted it, she will get it. And I just, I'm not getting the vibe. And it's making me, it's turning me off her a bit, watching her with him. It's like...
But there now, this is, I'm going to throw in a curveball here, Hannah.
Do it.
Do you think that the reason why she is not being, what's the word, not even intimate, but like she's not kind of fully connecting with Ed is because of what happened on trivia night, and she's kind of coming up with excuses when she really can't tell him why that's maybe...
I would like to think so. And also I think, like, remember how angry he got with her for her not telling him about Jane and Perry, which again I think was weird, but... He doesn't like when she doesn't tell him everything. And I think she knows in her heart she will never tell him about Trivia Night because it makes him complicit. And she is, like, she does love him. I think she's in love with him. I think she loves him, just maybe not this true animalistic love.
Yeah.
And also he's the father of their daughters. So I don't think she wants to make him complicit. But I agree with you. If they get back together, I feel like we'll have to be all cards on the table, which means her having to come clean.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, now I feel a bit better about this.
I mean, I was just thinking there. Thanks for that, Reb. Thanks so much. I mean, I could be wrong. Like, she could literally
just
want...
No, I think you're right.
Okay,
I think you're right. Okay, so last chats to Renata about her pending custody hearing. She worries that her lawyer isn't good enough, but Renata reassures her. However, Renata does want to chat to Mary Louise to attempt to convince her to call the whole thing off. Their meeting is interrupted by Renata's assistant, who lets her know that she's lost the Women in Power article. The assistant then offers her to make Renata some African Zimbabwe tea, and Renata calls the magazine backstabbing sluts, basically.
Now, I honestly, I would be as fuming as she was that is cut from the magazine.
So
I would have bought a copy of that magazine. I would have framed it on the wall. Like, I was dying to see the interview and read it.
She should have known, though. And she needs to direct all of her anger at that fucking man. Because I just can't.
I can't with Gordon. Also, in this scene was, it kind of, I forget that Celeste is a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, you do forget that.
So I'm hoping she lawyers the fuck out of Mary Louise in the end.
Same.
And finishes her, which I think is what's going to happen.
I hope Celeste does an Elle Woods.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, so some kids are bullying Ziggy at school, but the twins interrupt and the three of them beat up the bully. Jane and Celeste are then called to the principal's office. The kid who was attacked had to have his lip stitched and he is in the hospital, so all four boys are suspended. Renata and Gordon then discuss her article. The magazine said her inclusion in the piece would ultimately be a smear on the entire publication.
Now that is, I mean, that's a bit of an insult.
If the afternoon wasn't bad enough, the doorbell goes and Mary Louise arrives over for tea. Renata starts by thanking her for coming. Mary Louise says, "What happened to your furniture? For such a big house, you'd think there'd be more furniture."
She literally, Mary Louise's LinkedIn profile should say, "Identifies insecurity and presses hard on them." That's what she does to everyone. She identifies the insecurity in a millisecond. And then
skill.
She is like, beep,
and
beep, 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 beep.
It's not just one insecurity, it's everything. Everything. She picks up on it like that. Shots fired. So she takes shots of Renata over her status as a working mother. She says, "So many moments lost. And for what? A screening room? Maybe a boat." So Renata has met her match. Celeste talks to the twins about their fight at school. She reminds them that violence is not the answer. One of them tells her to stop being such a bitch. And she gets upset. She then explains to the boys that she has to meet a lawyer because Mary Louise wants them to come and live with her. They get upset, but she reassures them that they will absolutely be staying with her. Ed and Chloe, this is a really weird scene and it's just really, really short. Ed and Chloe are cooking in the kitchen. They both get upset. They pull each other in for a big hug. So I think that was just very quickly us being shown that Chloe knows what's going on with her parents.
Look, she does. Chloe's the younger one.
Chloe's the younger one.
Yeah, that was, I think I'm pretty sure I missed that.
It was like a second And that I don't know if they like cut out an entire scene or it's literally they're chopping up vegetables. We don't even see Chloe's face, the back of her head. He pulls her in for a big hug. The two of them start crying and then Chloe leaves the room with a plate of vegetables.
This episode really was like, it was really that kind of, it's not even a lesson that everyone says, but everyone says that the things that your parents do can affect you so much.
Yes.
And like, obviously we're seeing that in the kids more and more.
The
as
whole series
along.
Is really good at showing that.
Yeah, it really is. And obviously that was just a quick kind of glimpse at that she is being affected, even if we haven't, you know.
Yeah, and maybe there's more to come from that. Maybe they've shown us that to kind of pull on our heartstrings a little bit for whatever way the Ed Madeline thing is about to go in the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
I reckon we need to understand that Chloe's really upset. So Bonnie's dad visits her at work. She's in the middle of a singing for sleep apnea class. He's concerned that the hospital aren't doing enough for Bonnie's mother. They're moving her to rehab and he thinks that's them throwing in the towel. Look at you getting involved, says Bonnie. You don't think I got involved? That I didn't protect you, says her dad. What the fuck happened in her childhood?
Yeah.
They were dancing around it. Now we're so close. I just want to know.
Well, I feel like in this episode, because they showed a couple of flashbacks and stuff like that, now that we know that Bonnie's mother was the abuser.
Yeah.
And that she feels like her dad protected her somewhat, but didn't protect her enough to actually remove her from the situation.
So that's what, like, the flashbacks.
He mediated. He might have stopped the fighting as bad. He might
so, like,
have...
she was fully physically abusing her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because, like, I remember the flashback where we've seen her being held underwater. And then there's a couple of quick ones this week where they're kind of, she's, like, holding her and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I'm still a bit confused.
Yeah, it's still, they haven't fully, I think that they've hinted at it very, okay. very strongly. But they haven't fully actually openly said, Bonnie's mum did X, Y, and Z. Do you know that way?
Yes.
But... also, that scene, I did actually, the one funny part of it, the whole scene was actually quite emotional, but the one funny part was Bonnie saying that the sleep apnea class was a cash cow.
Yeah, no, that was amazing, wasn't
the
it?
The singing sleep apnea class.
You would not think that's her vibe at all, but it was, and I love it, because that just shows a little bit of Monterey in her.
Yes.
She's not this, like, yeah, total, like, vibed out kind of, like... foresty, fairy, like cash cow. Loved it. So Celeste meets Mary Louise's lawyer. He suggests joint custody where Celeste gets the kids midweek and Mary Louise gets them on the weekend. She would also have to agree to drug and alcohol dependency treatment and anger management. She says, you're not getting my boys, not for Saturday, not for Sunday, not for a fucking minute. Celeste's lawyer talks to her outside the room and says that the offer is actually a win and advises her to take the deal. This gave me so much anxiety. Imagine someone telling you that the best you will ever have is to see your children midweek, which 9 months out of the year they'll spend in school.
Yeah.
No. Just no. So Celeste meets the other Monterey Five and tells them that if she goes to court for the children, Perry's murder can be brought up. She tells the women that we'll have to be prepared. Madeline reminds the group that if we stick together, we'll be fine. Ziggy and Jane have a catch up. He tells her that he likes Corey and that he doesn't want to grow up to be like her father. So again, another quick scene showing how the kids are affected.
Yeah, so he's obviously, you know, growing a
Absolutely.
Relationship with Corey now.
Exactly. And that's another thing they obviously want to just cement home a little bit.
Yeah.
So Bonnie returns home to find that I presume Nathan has bought her a treadmill and a book on running. I think it's to be like, stop running in the forest on your own and just run here with us.
Yeah, that's still a bit though, like...
I'm sorry, he's useless. I've no time for him, ever.
She needs a bit of fresh air and a bit of space at
exactly,
the same time.
Exactly.
But like maybe he's just so worried about her, he doesn't know if she'll come back.
I don't think he knows what to do. And I get he's trying to come from a nice point of view, but he's just such an idiot. Like, if I found solace in running, which I never will, and same. I want to run, I'm not. I will run. Like, buy me whatever you want. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not into him at all. So Nathan's gone to the hospital to visit Bonnie's mum, but her dad is there and he wants to talk. He tells her that he was protecting her and that while he may seem weak, he was doing whatever he could to make the rage go away for you, for me and for her. He then tells Bonnie that her mother started to mumble that afternoon. She apparently said that Bonnie is drowning and then that he is worried. So Celeste and the boys have a chat about the custody hearing. They promise to protect her and she tells them that it's important to tell the truth and tell the judge that they want to live with her. So she's getting panicked. Renata has taken Annabella out of school for the day because everyone else is out of school and Annabella gets everything that she wants. She's confused and asks, is it because they're broke? Renata, this is my big little line for the week. Renata reassures her, everything isn't about money. Well, it is. And that's the reassurance that she gets. Madeline and Abigail go for an ice cream. Madeline scales Mary Louise for trying to take away Celeste's boys and calls her a psycho. But we don't get the ice cream throwing scene.
Travesty. That's the biggest lie of the bloody season.
There's no arguments that anyone can make for why that was removed.
I'm not sure. And Reese Witherspoon's obviously a producer on this show, and it was her character who threw the ice cream, and she hasn't commented on why the scene wasn't included. But I do have an update about where the scene is.
Ooh!
A little bit later on in the episode.
I'm just blessed and thankful that we got the photographs.
Oh, incredible photos.
Like, so grateful.
At least we can stare at them forever, but we will get to see the scene. ..
Hey, I'm nearly done then. I can't wait to hear about that.
Let's go,
so
girl.
Jane and Corey kiss. They're having a really cute little date. It's all going well until Jane breaks down in tears. Obviously, in the last episode, she told him about the rape. Later, Jane and Celeste chat about her sex life while Corey plays with the boys. To me, he's looking more and more attractive as this episode goes on. I don't know what it is. I think I really liked his look. The 70s look really suited him.
Yeah, he was rocking it.
So Bonnie chats to her mother, who remains unconscious in the hospital. She says, I want you to stop worrying about me and start thinking about you. You are right, though. I'm going through a rough moment, but I'll figure it out. However, Bonnie's mother suddenly wakes up, locks eyes at her and says, kill me.
That was so intense.
That was like horror film.
Yeah.
Scary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we get a roundup of scenes to finish off the episode. We see Mary Louise looking at a picture frame, which seems to be Perry, but could potentially be her husband with her two boys.
Yeah.
I think it was her husband with her two boys.
I was half asleep with the hay fever tablets this week. Like,
no, that it's flashing.
It was such a, the last couple of minutes of this episode were like a whirlwind and so much happened that I definitely missed that. So thank you.
I had to watch it twice. It's, when I say flash, I mean flash, flash, flash.
We'll
it's
go
so
back.
Quick.
We'll go back.
Yeah, so I picked that up on the third watch. So Renata and Amabella play in the pool while Gordon watches on. Celeste, Jane, Corey and the boys kayak. Maddie has another contemplative glass of wine on her back porch.
Ooh, a contemplative glass of wine.
Yeah, did you like that word?
That was lovely.
Tori meets Ed at a bar. And kind of like has shots with him. And
Tori
like,
and the girls.
Yeah, Tori and the girls, and flirts with him and rubs his arm while Joseph watches on.
Oh, they've got some sort of arrangement, my love, do they?
I don't know, but like, I'm sorry if that's where you're at in your marriage. Consider moving on. It is so toxic. Although I'm still like, Ed, is he going to do it?
Mm,
is he going to do it? I kind of want him to do it.
That's setting us up for something.
Is that mean that I want him to do it?
Oh,
I'm just like, break the steady Eddie, like do something for yourself.
But you know what, Hannah, that's not who he is. And
no, you're right.
And
sorry, I don't know why I'm considering someone to have, like, I'm not trying to.
That won't spark joy. He's going to feel 10 times worse afterwards because he's not making the decision himself. He's not, it's a catalyst because of what Madeline did. It's not his own desire. So that won't give him the satisfaction.
You are one of the wisest people I've ever spoken
Stop.
To.
Just
mean and like, obviously, I don't want to encourage people to have affairs. It is mean. Like, if this was real life, I would never in my life. But it's just when it is a TV show, you're like, I'd love to see the fallout from that.
Completely.
Do you know what I mean?
I just feel like it will make Ed not be Ed. And he needs to be happy with who he is. And if Madeline doesn't love who he is, that's one thing. But if your one likes him for being someone he's not, that's even more fake than his relationship he has now.
I mean, I actually, I don't know what to say.
I'm feeling very philosophical today.
If you don't write a book, the world has been robbed.
I would like a bit of action. I mean, there's not been any bam, chicka, wow, wow. This,
not a drop. I thought we were going to get a great scene.
It's worse than Love Island this year, my love.
The bartender and Celeste, which we barely saw.
I know
that
they're
as well.
All dealing with a lot and grief and everything, but like, you know, it, obviously Jane's healing from the abuse that she endured from her attack, so it's not going to be her. Madeline, they all, like, and Renata and Gordon, like, there's nobody that you could say, oh, maybe they're
but
all.
But was it you or Brendan that said it, like, when we first started talking about the series, that like the sex in all of the relationships is damaged for different reasons?
Oh, like, well, actually, that was definitely Brendan. That was very, I mean, he's another philosopher.
Yeah, yeah, so if you look at them all, Gordon and Renata, disaster. Obviously, Jane's only had sex once and she didn't have sex. She was raped. That's her only sexual experience.
Yeah.
obviously a disaster. Madeline and Ed, nothing's going on there. Bonnie and Nathan, not seeing each other.
And I'd say they were very active before now.
I feel like they were. Celeste, and obviously Celeste and Perry is the most notable relationship that had sexual issues. So
I suppose, like, looking back now that we're talking about it, like, it was never healthy sexual encounters that we saw.
None of them were. That's
it was
exactly
Madeline
the point
having
Brendan
an affair.
Making.
Yeah, it's all very...
All of the sex that we've seen has been really unhealthy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to quickly wrap this up, that we then see Bonnie park outside the police station.
Oh, Jesus, me heart in that moment when I was watching it.
She's going in. Mind is made up. She is going
in
because this is the second time she's been there. This is it. She's going in until we watch Corey and another officer leave the police station, and he gets into a car and he looks up, and I'll be damned if he doesn't see her.
He sees her. I think he sees her.
And then it cuts. Is he a police officer?
I think now we'll move into the thoughts and theories section.
That is it. Thank you.
Hannah, a fantastic recap. Welcome back. You did a fantastic job.
Thank you so much.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think Corey is a police informant.
Informant or officer?
I don't think he's an officer. I don't know why.
I will hit the roof if he knows everything about Jane's past and has manipulated his trust with her. Made up a total lie about wanting to be a marine biologist.
Yeah.
Like, that would be scum of the earth shit.
She's been through so much. It's like, I don't think she can endure another trauma when she's finally opened up to somebody. And he's just trying to seduce her to get out information.
I think either way, he's involved.
Yeah, 100%. And we did see that scene of him asking at the start, aren't you one of the Monterey Five? So that was in the series for a reason. That was our first ever glimpse of him. We've known from the beginning almost.
Do you think he's going to do that bullshit of like, at the start I was just in it for the money, but then I realised I really like you and now I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like, hate to lose a guy in 10 days.
Yeah,
but...
and she's going to be like, are you joking me? Every sexual relationship I've ever had has been so awful and now you've done this to me knowing everything.
Horrific. And also the fact that we know that Ziggy is now...
And you know my child.
Seeing him as a... Not like, I don't know if you've seen him as a father figure, but he is, yeah.
But he compared him to his dad. He said, I want to grow up to be like Corey, not like my dad. So that's massively problematic.
It is. And I'm like...
Ugh. And also, like, what the hell is going to happen with Bonnie now?
And a lot of people as well have said about Corey, they're all warming to him. And now it's like, I have to be honest, I never liked the fella.
No, I have to say, ever since Disco, the dancing, the fact that she can talk to him, I think they did, sorry, a lot in this episode to show what a good guy he is.
Yeah.
With the kids.
Yeah.
And I think they were really building up to that. So they did very well to manipulate me to be really, really into him when they pulled the wool from over our eyes.
Another thing that's really grinding my gears this week, well, not really, but it's making me kind of, I want to know answers. Why is Mary Louise trying to get custody of Celeste's kids, okay? So, do you think that Mary Louise genuinely thinks that Celeste is an unfit parent?
No.
Or do you think that because the detectives weren't getting any sort of break in the case in the investigation, it was a dead end, do you think that Mary Louise cooked up this whole custody plan to get the kids to, because she knows that in court she can bring up Perry's death and it will all lead back to Perry's death as to when Celeste became unfit?
I hadn't thought about that until just now, and now that's what I think.
That she had to go down this route, that she doesn't genuinely want to mind Max, Josh, or Ziggy.
Did you come up with this?
I mean, I've been thinking about it.
You're so intelligent, Rebecca, on this episode. Because remember when she went to see the police officer at the very end of four episodes ago and she said, you don't think my son just fell, do you? And then it cut.
Yeah.
So do you think that police detective, Quinlan, advised Mary Louise that this is the route you go
down? I don't think the detective did. I think Mary Louise knew that they were hitting a dead end and that, you know, because everyone's stories matched up, they weren't going to find this big reveal. Like, they're saying he slipped. I think she said, okay, the only way, what can I do here to try and get Celeste? How do I ruin her? I know she's in on it. I know they're all lying about something. How do I use this situation to get to the core of what happened that night?
I completely think that's what's happened, and
they'll be lying under oath. So basically the other four Monterey five yeah, will be called up on the stand because they will be asked, they'll be character witnesses.
Yes, Celeste went and prepared them all for that. They had a little chat in a car park,
yeah,
about
so they're going to be character witnesses, and they are not only going to have, like, they're not only going to have lied to the police, but now they're going to have to lie under oath. And I think Bonnie's just already on the brink of breaking the pact that she won't do that.
Oh my God.
Another thought I had, right?
Yeah.
We've gotten confirmation that Bonnie's mum abused her. And when Bonnie asks her dad, Martin, why he didn't protect her. And when her mum woke up and asked her to kill her. Is Bonnie going to commit two homicides in two seasons?
What?
Because she was abused by this woman for her whole childhood. She's completely mentally scarred from it and probably physically scarred. Is her mum's asking her to kill her?
Why do you think that is? Because she's so unwell. Do you think, like,
well, her mum had a stroke and she hasn't. She did, like, lose her speech slightly, I think, in one of the episodes. I think that's obviously a side effect.
So do you think it's like a euthanasia thing rather than just like a weird thing that she said?
Oh, I think she's like, I'm suffering so much.
Kill
my quality of life is, yeah, kill me.
That's so sad.
It's so sad, but. Is Bonnie going to...
I think that's why Bonnie went to the police station, because she's like, I will do this. Because I actually hate her, kind of a part of me. But then also I love her and this is what she wants. And it would actually feel really good to be the one that took the power over her life. So I think she's I need to hand myself in now.
I could be going... Yeah, that could be the catalyst that she goes,
I think that is.
I need to get out of here. I need to tell everyone the truth.
I think she's like, I'm going to lose the fucking plot. Like, I've had the worst year of my entire life and now my mom is asking me to kill her. This needs to end. Get in the car. Drive to the police station. About to hand herself in. Corey's an undercover cop.
Now, I could be going full Line of Duty on this and that could not be the case.
Everything you've said, Rebecca, I feel like I would go to war for you today. Everything you've said is so bang on the money. I'm like, why do I even have opinions?
That's not the case. But thank you. I appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
These are just the things that, like, I was like, okay, where in my mind, I think that we loved doing this when we did the other podcast about Line of Duty because there were so many avenues the story could go in. So I suppose that's probably where my mind's at the moment.
You've gone full of theories.
I'm like, where can this, where do we go from here? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so the last few minutes are setting up plenty of drama with Corey, the investigation into Perry's death. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he definitely is part of that investigation.
Perry
in some way.
That brother.
Yeah.
One.
There's just no way Mary Louise wants to look after these three boys that she. Like, where was Mary Louise in the first season? Like, there, she was definitely kept at arm's length by Perry almost, was she? Like, where. What, like, I know they had to bring her in to make a season two, but we never.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, you know, why does someone who. Listen, if Perry was that bad, what are the parents capable of? If we're seeing this theme of how parents' decisions and mistakes can influence a child's life, what on earth did Mary Louise and the dad do to Perry? Now, some people are born evil, but
no, but not in this show. This show is very nature versus nurture, and it's nurture, the whole thing. It's mothers and children, fathers and children. Yeah.
So we only have, we have two episodes left to wrap it all up, and we know that something's going to happen. Bonnie's either going to spill the beans, drown in the sea, which we've seen all the visions of.
There's going to be war between Bonnie and Corey.
Yeah, there is. And then I'm worried that Corey is going to turn Bonnie into a... like turn her against the girls and then get her to almost land them in it and like give her some sort of plea deal. I don't know.
I think she's very vulnerable to anything right now. I think she could potentially end up drowning her mother somewhere.
Oh my God.
To totally turn the tail on all the visions that we saw of her mother holding young Bonnie under the water. I think that could be something.
Oh my God.
And they both had the shared vision of the water. They had that connection. And then she woke up and said, kill me, was the next thing that she said. And I think Bonnie tried to do the right thing. It's not going to happen. I think she's going to snap.
I never even thought of that. Jesus. How would she? Oh, anyway, I won't even. That is crazy. So there's a few different directions that the show could take. And next week's episode 6 of season 2 is called The Bad Mother.
Come on.
Yeah. I know. Okay, so according to IMDb, next week's episode will see Celeste blindsided by Mary Louise. Bonnie contemplates...
How could she blindside her anymore?
I mean, I just feel like Mary Louise has loads of bits up her sleeve. Bonnie contemplates a solution to her mother's suffering and her own ongoing guilt. Jesus, that's the line in the bloody episode. Not of Big Little Lies, of our Big Little Shrine. Bonnie contemplates a solution to her mother's suffering
and
her ongoing guilt. What?
She's going to pull her into the water.
Oh, Lord above. That is terrifying. I'm like, she must be in the worst place possible now.
Have you watched The Affair?
Bits.
Okay, then we won't talk about it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay, wow. Well, there's a lot of water in that. Okay. And Ed entertains an unusual proposition.
I'm dead if Tori asks Ed.
Unusual proposition.
A threesome
definitely.
With her and Joe.
Menage a trois with Joseph.
No.
Joseph,
and
Tori,
sorry,
and Ed
entertains. So doesn't shut down. Considers.
And the Monterey Five feel the pressure of an increased scrutiny of Perry's death.
An increased scrutiny that has to come from Corey.
Yeah, it has to. So a very tense trailer is up on HBO's YouTube channel, and the description for that trailer reads, things begin to unravel as Detective Quinlan continues her pursuit of the Monterey Five.
She's back on the scene.
Oh, she is, my
love. Take a day off.
So in the trailer, in the clip, we hear a male's voice, who I believe is Corey, who says, Detective Quinlan said one of you will finally crack.
Piss off. I will not be able to cope if he's evil.
Yeah. Celeste is being sworn in a courtroom as Mary Louise watches on. In the voiceover, Mary Louise says, at the end of the day, we're all family, to which Celeste replies, we're not family, Mary Louise. A quick shot of Celeste leaning against her car in despair flashes. We then see Jane visiting Mary Louise at her home. At the front door, she shouts, what I see is a woman struggling, and Meryl bites back. She says, are you struggling with your conscience, perhaps? Flashing shots of Madeline, Jane, Renata comforting a crying Celeste are up on screen.
Oh, Ed, don't tell me she lost custody. It's just too much.
It's too much. Ed and Madeline are hugging each other and Bonnie is looking extremely worried. Detective Quinlan is staring Bonnie out of it in the courtroom. We see a flash of that. And we then see Bonnie at her mother's bedside and she says, well, it looks like it's time.
It's time to go and double drown each other.
Stop. I actually, Hannah, if you've predicted this, this is like when Nostradamus said that the world was going to end at the millennium.
I have a feeling.
You'd, yeah. Mm. Yeah, okay. The last piece of the trailer. You've had a vision. Mm. Mystic hand. Mm. We then see Bonnie in the police station and we hear her say the words, I have to confess.
No.
Confess to what though?
Confess to what though?
Oh my lord.
Well then isn't a double drowning? Oh, I don't know what to fucking think anymore.
I have to confess.
Because if she confesses, she obviously can't walk back out of the police station.
Okay.
And drown
herself. I have another
herself.
Thought.
Okay.
Does Bonnie, something happen with Bonnie and her mum? Does she do something?
Yeah.
And then does she decide to confess to that instead of confessing to Perry's death, being responsible for Perry's death?
Yeah, so by the act of confessing,
she'll go to jail.
All out. Yeah.
Yeah, but her friends, the Monterey, the remaining Monterey Four, won't be prosecuted because her lie will just be buried.
So in a weird twist of events, her mother's, let's say, death, inverted commas, will actually be the key to free her from her
mum's
own
her mum's
prison.
Death is almost a sacrifice, and Bonnie's a sacrifice as well.
Yeah, so her mum will lay herself down as a sacrifice. Maybe that's like, maybe, you know, she was having a vision when she collapsed.
Yeah.
Maybe she was like, this is the only way to save my daughter from drowning. I will sacrifice myself as an apology for everything that I've done to her.
But the crazy thing is, Big Little
and
Lies.
And if that doesn't happen, write that down and we'll write a book and we'll put that in because that's brilliant.
That is
but
brilliant.
But everything you've said, but write it down.
I feel like you and me, Brendan's going to come
just
back
right
next
now.
Week.
We're like, Brendan, we've written a book.
He's going to come back next week and go, the two of you lost it with this here. Because I was saying someday in one of the weeks that we were doing the podcast,
did he
like,
just shut you
no,
down?
No, he was just like, Rebecca, no, it's not, it is not like.
See, we add fuel to the fire.
Yeah, we, but honestly, you're that friend who you're like, nah, I'm only going for one drink. You're like, nah, but
yeah, so
will we drink
down.
More? Yeah, okay. Now, we do have this recorded, so if this ever happens, we'll be like, now listen.
I'm like, please God, Brendan isn't here. Is this thing on?
Brendan's the voice of reason on this podcast. Okay, so earlier on we were talking about the devastating fact that the ice cream scene was cut.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh.
Meryl Streep says the long-awaited ice cream showdown that we never got to see will eventually air. So, the paparazzi shots were released during filming and they showed Madeline hurling her 99 at Mary Louise's head. Iconic. No one has explained why the scene was cut, but Streep apparently revealed back in May at the premiere that the scene will eventually see the light of day. She told ET, which I think is Entertainment Tonight,
it is,
that it's going to be in the DVD extras.
Meryl trying to get an add-on. Okay.
So
I'll buy it.
I'll buy it.
I'll buy it.
But like, I'm just like, or just, will someone please think of the gifts?
Yeah, the
gifts. Someone think of the gifts.
The gifts.
I needed that gift.
We have the image, which I'm forever grateful for. We'll buy the DVD. We'll watch it together. We'll throw ice creams at each other out your back garden. It'll be fine.
Oh, we actually should try recreate that for the finale.
We should. A still shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brendan. So, who do you want to be? I want to be Mary Louise.
I can be the daughter.
Abigail. So, is Brendan Madeline?
Yeah, I think, I think Brendan would rock a blonde wig.
Oh, he'll be only thrilled.
This week, there was a really funny tweet from a guy called Bobby Finger.
Excuse me?
So, you know, everyone has mad Twitter names. I mean, that could be his name, so I'm sorry if I've just offended you. He put up a picture of a Big Little Lies calendar, right? So he tweeted it with the caption, Celeste, Bonnie, Madeline and Renata all have the same calendar. I have the calendar printed out here. I'm really sorry for anyone who's listening.
Is it in
who
their
can't
house?
See it. I'm going to retweet it on our Twitter page, at ShrinePod. This is the calendar. This is their daily calendar, which I'm obsessed with, okay? So between 8 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock, they take the kids to school. Between 9 and 11, they drive around and think about the lie. From 11 to 1, they catch up with the girls in the coffee shop.
Drive around and think about the lie. It's my favourite.
From 1 to 3, they drive around again and think about the lie. from 3 to 5. Oh, sorry. From 3 to 4, they have a tense meeting with the girls in the car.
About the lie.
Exactly. Then from 4 to 5, therapy. Which, where is the therapist this
like
episode?
The therapy, it's the last is going to therapy in the dead of night.
Yeah, it's, listen.
Just get a babysitter and going out at 10 o'clock at night to go to therapy.
Yeah, listen, that's
it's very
weird.
America, isn't it?
From 5 to 10, they brood. And then from 10 to 12, they watch the waves. And it's a full spreadsheet, like the one that you have on your phone. Show I'm me. Like, look at that. No, that's so impressive. We're
my two
that.
Favorite parts, watch the waves and drive around and think about the lie being in your
It honestly reminds me of that time that they released Princess Margaret's daily routine. And because I was so obsessed with The Crown at that time, I was like, oh my God, like every day she'd wake up, have a gin and tonic, have a bath, like eat 2 eggs and then have another gin and tonic and go to bed.
And also, can I just say,
that's definitely not an accurate representation of what the schedule they released was. But
3 to 4pm, tense meeting with the girls, and then in small font, in the car.
In the car. So good.
Brilliant.
So that tweet, now I'm telling you, that's one of the best Big Little Lies tweets. Another one, right? The other way you were saying that you kind of fancy Corey.
Yeah, I actually do.
So another tweet this week, if I can find it somewhere, was...
Is it down the end of that page?
It is, thanks a mil. From Gabe Bergdo. Gabe Bergdo on Twitter. He posted something gas. He wrote, I finally realised why I find Corey from Big Little Lies so attractive. And he tweeted a photo of, now I don't know if you're going to remember
don't
this.
Don't tell me.
Logan from Zoe 101. Did you ever watch that?
Are you? Of course.
Oh, I know. The song is so good. The theme song's amazing.
Remember she got pregnant and it was like the shock of the millennium.
It's just because they never went back for like a sequel or a movie. Like, no, Zoe goes to Rome like Sabrina goes to Rome.
Britney Spears' baby sister is having a child.
Oh, like, she looks so happy now.
She is living her best life.
She's so fabulous. But yeah, it was the biggest scandal because the show ended. Because
Corey isn't Logan, is he?
They're I don't think the they're the same person, actor. No, they're not. But they just look alike. And someone tweeted being like, now I know why I kind of fancy
him. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm picturing Zoe 101 crystal clear in my head.
Yeah, and like the starting song, which we won't.
Just do a little.
No.
Just remind me a tiny bit.
No, I'm not.
I'll do it after.
If you wanna stay, come and stay
today. Yes!
Oh my God, I've sung 4 times this week.
You're dead right.
So guys, that is it for this week's episode of Big Little Shrine. If you have any burning thoughts or theories, or if you think myself and Hannah are insane with some
of ours, or you just want to talk absolute shite with us, evidently that's what this was,
contact us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at ShrinePod, or you can email shrinepod@gmail.com. We would really appreciate if you could subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Big Little Shrine, and
yes,
rate and review us. We need a few reviews. Like, so far
do
it's
we?
Been you, me and Brendan.
You can write, is that it? You can write know. Mad stuff in the reviews. You can make stuff up. Once it's positive.
Once
but
it's
say
positive.
Whatever you want.
Next week, Brendan will return from his glamorous holiday and the Shrine Sisters will be back worshipping Meryl Streep's sass
the Monterey
again.
Three.
The Monterey Three. Until then,
goodbye now.
I will not be rich.
Oh, you nailed it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.